to me all morning, okay? I needed this kind of service. Can I just say it the way I want to say it? I need this kind of church. I need this kind of church. I like a church full of broken people. And the only thing we got in common is we came to Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name under heaven where you might be saved except through Jesus Christ. See, that's the only way anybody gets saved. Don't let anybody ever fool you. Amen. Don't let anybody ever fool you. Somebody will tell you because you go to this church, you go to that church, you went and you got baptized this way, or you done some good works over here, or you done this many prayers, or you read this many verses. No, it's because we came to Jesus Christ. It's the one who died on the cross for our sins. See, if it was anything more or anything less than that, then Jesus wouldn't have died on that cross. I don't know if I'm going to get to my message, but I want to tell you this. See, way back in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned. They did. All the way back in the garden. They sinned. And they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. That's what they tried to do. See, they had committed sin, and they tried to find a way to cover. And they couldn't. They tried a real simple way of covering it like we do. We try to cover our sins, and God wouldn't have no part in it. God came down and He slew an animal. Now listen, that don't make sense to you, but He slew an animal. He slew something that had nothing to do with the people who were sinning. It had nothing to do with the ones who had committed the sin. See what He was doing? He was painting a picture of Jesus Christ. See, I've sinned and you've sinned and everybody else has sinned, and we tried to cover it just any old way we could cover it. But Jesus took somebody who didn't have to do with anybody. It didn't have anything to do with the sin. It was the Lamb of God. So God took a lamb and He slaughtered it. And He poured the blood out that He could cover us in His righteousness. Because the way we would go about it would leave us uncovered. I'm telling you this morning, there's a way out of your sin. It's through Jesus Christ. There's a way to be a good father. It's to be a son of Jesus Christ. A follower and believer of Jesus Christ. To have your sins covered. There's a way to be a good son. It's to have your sins forgiven. There is no happiness. There is no peace. There is no joy outside of Jesus. You can try to cover it any way you want to cover it. It ain't ever going to get covered. It ain't ever going to feel right. Until you come and say, I accept what Jesus done. I'm kind of blessed this morning. I'm not kind of blessed. I am blessed. I've got a hero here today. It's my dad. And he's just not my hero because he's my dad. He's my hero because he got saved when he was 36 years old. And I got to see him change. And I want to show you something. We've been preaching a little series on Mephibosheth. And I'm not going to preach it the way God gave it to me, except for right now, if y'all don't mind. Can y'all handle just a little bit of preaching? Let's read verse 7. I want to show you something. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. Are y'all all right? Y'all get that? This is down in Mephibosheth. Y'all remember Mephibosheth was saved out of a place called Lodabar. He was a crippled boy. His daddy made a covenant with God. Amen. His dad made a covenant with God through David that he would remember his sons. And God did. And he reached down in Lodabar and he pulled Mephibosheth out. And we studied that Mephibosheth had a period in his life that wasn't easy. Christians, I'm going to tell you, there will be periods in your time where you'll walk through valleys. And people might forsake you. And they might look at you and say, oh, I thought he was going to be some kind of Christian because he's going through a tough time. God didn't say you wouldn't go through tough times. He just said you wouldn't go alone. Amen? Amen? That's the difference between the world and us that get saved. We go through tough times too. We just don't go through them alone.
And then when Mephibosheth come out the other side of it, he talked about his relationship with God being more important than any of the stuff that he had. Can I get an amen right here? Are you in love with more with Jesus than the stuff that he's brought in your life?
See, sometimes I try to remember that, you know, I fall in love with the blessings of God, and I forget that He found me in Lodabar. He found me in a place where I was a sinner. He found me in the pits of hell. He found me in those places that I couldn't get out of. See, you see a refined product now. You see somebody who's doing good now. You see somebody who's cleaned up now. And I kind of fall in love with where I'm at now, but I'm still in love with the place where He found me.
That's right.
See, because if He hadn't have found me, I couldn't be standing here. Amen? So let me tell you, at the end of all of it, I love what God's doing in my life. I love what He's provided in my life. But I love Him more than all that combined. Amen.
Do you? And in the end, there's a place of judgment. See, there's a famine in the land. That's what we're reading right here. And Mephibosheth had the opportunity. All of his family were going to be slaughtered. Because there was a famine in the land and they had killed the Gibeonites. But the only one was spared was Mephibosheth. Because of covenant that his daddy had made with God and God's man. Amen? And we read about it right there. It said, Jonathan, can I give you 3 points? And I'm going to give you the verses. You can go back and read the chapters. But I'm going to preach. And when I said my hero's sitting here, my dad is my hero. And I got to see him live this out. All right, so I got firsthand experience. Now I got my own relationship with God. I've been saved, and I'm in love with Jesus. But I'm glad God gave me an experience that I could see a Jonathan in my life. And if you've had an opportunity to be a Jonathan in your son's life, you should praise God. And if you're a son here and you've got a dad who loves God and you know it, you should praise God. And if you're in a situation where you don't have either, it's if you're sitting here and you're still drawing breath, it's not too late.
Amen.
You can make some changes in life. And the big change comes from God, forgive me of my sins and my trespasses and be the Lord of my life. And He'll do it. But I'm going to give you a reference. 1 Samuel 14 and 2 Samuel 1. Jonathan was a warrior.
Amen.
Jonathan was a warrior. Now I know every man in here, you want to be a warrior.
Amen.
But I want to talk to you about a spiritual warrior.
Yes.
I'm talking about somebody who walks on the battlefield with God.
Amen.
I'm talking about when you got saved.
Amen.
And then you said, God, I will. I will. I will go. It's kind of like Isaiah, who will go for me? I will. Not only do you go, but you keep going.
Amen.
You keep going. No matter what.
That's right.
Through the ups and through the downs.
Amen.
Because I gave you a reference in 2 Samuel 1. The last place we see Jonathan is on the battlefield. He died there. He died on the battlefield.
Amen.
Listen, I don't want to just start on the battlefield. I don't want to walk on the battlefield. I want to end up on the battlefield. Because I got a son and I've got a father. He started on the battlefield and he's going to finish on the battlefield. I'm starting on the battlefield and I'm going to finish on the battlefield. Fathers, listen to me tell you this. I'm challenging you by this word. Get on the battlefield.
Amen.
Stay on the battlefield. And finish for your children. Finish for your families. Finish for your communities. Finish for your church. Finish. Because a lot of men get started, but a lot of men don't finish.
Amen.
Finish. Another reference. 1 Samuel 18. As he lost his identity one day. He lost his kingdom on purpose. He fell in love with God's man and God's plan. See, David was the anointed one. David came down and faced Goliath. And he came in front of his father, and Jonathan was sitting there. And Jonathan had a choice. He could fall in love with his father and his kingdom and what would promise to him, or he could fall in love with God's man and God's plan. Now, the world's made this relationship weird, but God doesn't.
Because
Because see, I'm a man of God, and I've fell in love with God's plan, and I love God's anointing. Amen? See, when you see God's anointing, you fall in love with it. It's better than anything in this world. See, when he seen David come in the tent with the head of that giant, he knew, my kingdom's going to end. See, what Jonathan did, which was really cool, is one day he came in real proximity of what God wanted to do. So you know what Jonathan did? Jonathan took off his armor. He took off his shield. He took off his helmet. He took off his sword. And he gave it to David. What he was saying is, I surrender who I am. And I want you to be who you are. Amen. See, when you come in confrontation, when you find Jesus, you take your identity off. You're no longer the man that you used to be. You say, God, I don't want my kingdom. I don't want my reign. I don't want it my way. I want it your way. Amen. This is who I am, and I give it to you. And it's a great thing because God says, since you give me your identity, I'll give you my identity. See, I got to see this played out in my life. When my dad was 36 years old, he had an identity. But on an old-fashioned altar up in Charleston, Tennessee, I seen him surrender his identity. And I seen God put a new identity on him. And he's walked that out in front of me because he knew it's more important to hand down a relationship with Jesus than it is to hand down anything else you'll hand down to your children. I cleave to what he handed me. He showed me that Jesus is more important than anything else you'll hand your children. Men, Jesus is more important than anything you'll give your kids. I can remember many, many times that I played ball and stuff and I thought, Dad, what? Dad, look. Hey, Dad, look, watch me throw this. Hey, Dad, watch me run. Today, I'm glad I can say, hey, Dad, I got that same Jesus you got. I got him. Watch me run for him. Because I seen you run for him. Listen, your kids ain't going to remember all the stuff you bought them. They're not going to remember all the things that you paid for. What they're going to remember is the time you had a relationship with them. And they'll also remember the days you said, son, there was a day that I met Jesus.
Amen.
Now listen, I don't want amens right here. I don't want any of this. I want to say this. I want to challenge every man. Your family down at your dinner table. One moment, one time, at least a year. Clear the table. Sit down, eat a meal with them, and share your testimony and tell them exactly how Jesus saved you and brought you out of your bondage. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm challenging you to do it because your family needs to hear how God changed you.
I'm going to say amen anyway, brother.
All right, brother.
Amen.
Was there ever a day that you changed your identity?
Yes.
He was a covenant man. 1 Samuel chapter 20, 14 through 42, you can read. He was a covenant man. He made a covenant with God. He did it two times for David. He made sure. He told David, he said, when I die, remember my family. Remember my son. Amen? Remember my son. Because it's more important for me. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know who God is. But my child one day can get in a situation and he can get further than where I can go. He can get into places where I can't find him. And I want you to promise me, Lord, because I trust you and I believe you've saved me, but I want you to find my son. And if he's broken, and he's in a place that he can't get out of trouble, will you go for him? Jonathan thought this was important because he'd done it two times. And he hugged and he kissed David and he said, you better remember my seed, my blood, my family, because I love you and I'm going to trust you. Men, you can trust living for God.
Amen.
And if you live for him and you can give all your life to him, you can trust that he can take care of the rest of your family. Can I say one more thing? I think I will.
This is a Father's Day message that didn't have any women in it. You say, well, did you shortchange the mothers this morning? Nope. You know why? Because when I got on this altar, God really showed me something this morning. I started praying. He said, every mother in here would love to see their fathers, the husbands,
amen,
be on this altar crying out to God. For the mothers, they get cards in abundance, they get love in abundance, they get the fathers, we've dropped the ball when it comes to being spiritual.
Amen.
So you know what God said to me? He said, they won't mind sitting back one Sunday if their husbands would come out and reach out for God. Because I understand some things. There's some wives in here that are praying for their husbands to be the men of God they need to be. There's some sons in here that are praying for their fathers to be the men of God that God wants them to be. No, not just on Sunday. Not just in this little couple hour period. I'm talking Monday through Saturday.
Amen.
To live with a passion for God that they know that's the most important thing. And then there's another part. There's also some fathers in here. And you've been begging God. You've been begging God to take care of your children, to change your sons, to change your daughters. He will. You just stay busy living for Him. Because I'll tell you, when I got saved, it was shortly after a trip up to my dad's house. And I sat in the living room with him and Debbie, and I remember leaving there with my wife, and we rode down the road, and I looked at her and I said, they got a peace that I don't have. They got a peace that I want. I said, I know my dad. And he's not worried about the things that I'm worried about. And he's not concerned about the things that I'm concerned about. Because he knows God. And it wasn't long after that, God gave the increase and saved me and saved my wife. And what he handed down to me, I'm trying to hand down to this young man. If you're trying to hand something down, men, today would be the day to do it. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Men, I challenge you to come and pray. This altar's open for you. If you could be a better father, if you could be a better husband, if you could be a better son, come pray. This altar's open for you.